Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Yes, indeed. Wednesday evening. Yes. I'm back dragging much ass with me. Matter of fact, some of my ass is probably still British Columbia. But most of me is back. So we are ready to get down with the Hump Day Special and do what we got to do. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome. At Soul Tree Radio and the Raw is in effect. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins on the Black Athlete Sports Network. You know, shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network. Among them, my good brother, Radio Reggie, out of Richmond, Virginia, who I think has some hot stuff for us. Reggie, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. And, of course, our brother Gary North Gray, the bad man from the East Bay. What up, G?
New York. New York.
All right. What you got for us, Reg?
Well, it's really sad. HBCUGameDay.com broke the story that the Florida A&M football team had 20 ineligible players that were invited the game this past Saturday at University of North Carolina. Now, hopefully T-Mac will be on that on his professor. But I've done some rocks in the past. You remember when Forbes was at, I think not Forbes, was the coach of Tennessee some years ago, through the whistle when football team about the other players, and all hell broke loose. I don't know if somebody had an axe to grind, or if Coach Brown, North Carolina was kid of Florida A&M, but it's interesting that they picked that time to challenge 20 players that transferred in to Florida A&M.
Hold on.
Were short-handed, and they was handling their business in the third quarter. Man, look, they couldn't afford any offensive linemen to get hurt, because if they did, they had to forfeit the game because they had no backup on the offensive line. That's how
Holy
they
fuck.
What got me upset with this? And that they waited until 3 days before the game before they told this. That's what upset me more than anything else. You waited until 3 days before the game played. You tell people that you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that.
No, that's but crazy.
What I
want to
add to that, Mike, is Ron A&M had an AD that was making the school profit. And also was on top of things. Nobody to this day knows why Florida A&M fired him. Well, he went to Tulane and took the whole compliance office with him. He's doing pretty damn good over Tulane. So Florida A&M got to explain to do. And the sidebar, the band was mistreated. Now, get this down. The band performed, North Carolina, the U.S. North Carolina band and Florida A&M band both performed together at halftime. And they did the practice and did everything. The sad part about it, after it was over with, the band had to rush to the buses, change clothes in the buses, and this the guys changing clothes with the girls. And also they were giving cold box lunches to eat on the way back to Florida. It was a 13 to 14 hour ride from North Carolina.
Oh, this is shades of the Grambling stuff.
That was being mistreated. And Roland Martin went off on them. And you got niggas out there saying, man, don't be putting our business out. Now, don't be sitting up here talking about send my child to an HBCU and you got this nigger business happening. Because that's what was nigger business. And the president right now, he better get this straight or I'm calling for the resignation of the president of Florence A&M. Because this is not acceptable. And you wonder why a lot of people feel that it's career suicide to work at an HBCU in a higher administration level.
Damn. I leave the country for a couple of weeks and everybody loses their bunny rabbit blanket mind.
All I
This is crazy. And everybody knows that as bad as this will be, it will get magnified over the mouse, the rat, everywhere else. They will trash
the mouse. The mouse thought it was funny because I watched after the game on ESPN.
They thought it was funny.
And they thought it was cracking jokes about it. I said, oh, boy. They were cracking jokes about it. Boy,
see, shit like that just wears my nerves. Unbelievable. Mm. So 20-plus ineligible players. The 100 goes on stage, and they do halftime. And they literally have to change clothes inside the bus.
Yep.
This is not jail. I got the professor coming in just in time. Professor, good evening. To quote our brother here, what in the ham sandwich happened to FAMU?
Well, we're back to an old story about the lack of leadership, the lack of...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
Attention to detail when it comes to what is the reality that's behind all the previous glory. Every once in a while at HBCUs, I guess it happens at all schools. You reach for certain people who are educational icons in their own mind. And they seem to forget how you know, the song goes, my solo back on how it got over. But they forget how they got over. They forget that before they came here, this school, or this institution, was fully functional. It was highly esteemed in the public eye of not just in your hometown, but across the state, across the nation, in youth states around the world. This was not their first trip overseas, and they went last year. So,
my God,
I mean, this is not the first time this kind of thing has happened. Years ago, under the leadership of one Jay Gaither, even before he became head coach, he served under Dr. William Bell. And Dr. Bell, being an Ohio State grad who was at that point, worked finishing up his doctorate, going into World War II, when they almost all the football players and coaches and so forth ended up in the military. One who did not go to the military was Coach Aiken, because he was having he had a brain tumor. But anyway, there was an attempt by the then president that started when Dr. Bell was still there, and he was able to fight it off. But then when Coach Gaither took over, the players were returning from the war and whatnot, he tried again. So by this time, Coach Gaither, he had a plate in the back of his head, but he could still speak. And so what he did was start inviting the governor to what became the Orange Blossom Classic back in the mid to late 40s.
Okay.
You'd have all these black people from whatever school that they were playing, along with the Florida fans. And in this one little spot up there, they would have the governor, his wife if she came, and about a dozen or so white people. And he built a system that provided substance for the Rattlers, both the football team and the band. picture was going by this time on the Dr. Foster. Well, Dr. Foster retired a few years ago and eventually passed on. And then you had the incident with the young man who died during hazing at a ball game.
And
it seems that people who are still fighting that battle, trying to, quote, control the band, but ain't nobody around that was even part of being at that time.
Yeah.
So, that little thing, what's the beat? And,
it's important.
You know, you can get all kinds of arguments here because you have everything from undervaluing the 100.
Yeah.
No, it's not quite as big as it used to be, but it's getting it's getting there, and it could be there.
Yeah.
Because I can remember a few years back, they came to ANC during the time that the guy that became the mayor of Detroit was on the team. Okay. All you heard about during the week was, we know there's a ball game. Is the band coming? Is the 100 going to show up? And that was when this was long before the incident with your man getting killed. This was around the time that Dr. Humphrey was beginning to edge his way to the door. And there was an undercurrent even back then. Okay, this band thing getting out of hand, it costs too much. It takes 7 buses to move them. You move 7 buses, you got roughly 250 people that you got to move, you got to feed, you got to house, all this kind of thing. And, you know, in my humble opinion, the same way they wrote a check for the football team to come play, the same way they could have written the same kind of check to either fly the team up, it would have taken 2 planes to move, most likely, unless you had an Airbus. It would have taken 2 planes at least to move the band. But wanted the band there. It would not have been that big of a deal financially because I think Tina Stadium holds around 50-plus. And I think the cheapest tickets were $25, I think. So, you know, just do the math. Yes, there's a student section that maybe contains a couple thousand people. Subtract that and still do the math.
There's no way that
they could not put in a bill to fly the band. Or put them up overnight.
Exactly. I gotta step in the middle of this. Now this is bullshit. Reggie was dead on and he's like, this is nigga shit. How can you know you're being scrutinized. You know anything that an HBCU does gets magnified. And for better or worse. And they've always gone for worse. We have never seen the mouse lift up any HBCU program. I mean, even when Coach Rob was lauded for having the most wins after Paterno did his bullshit at Penn State, they made sure they got into that to alleviate that situation. So nothing has changed there. You've got people not eligible. The compliance officer is poisoned because I have to know they knew it was coming. I mean, it's just common sense. And if you're a compliance officer, your job is to make sure everything's kosher. And you didn't do your fucking job. You know, that's as bad as tacky as you can get.
Michael. Yeah, I'm not. Why they fired the AD at Florida A&M?
I'm not sure they even have a compliance
officer. I'm not saying you are. I'm just referring to the whole sentiment.
But they knew about this.
Mike, this is what I'm telling you. A few months ago,
yep,
the AD was fired. The AD who had helped make the move from one conference to the other and all that other good stuff, he did.
Yeah.
Balanced the book.
Okay.
It worked. He was fired, and he still hasn't given an explanation.
Right.
It has all the sound and lights that say, okay, he was not only good at his job, he's number two over Tulane now. So he's not only good at his job. He ain't kissed nobody's ass.
Yeah.
So he ended up leaving. He ended up being fired along with his friend who had been with the compliance office for the NEAC.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we're not even going to get into the fact that there is a compliance office at Carolina and most other Division One Power Five teams. They have a compliance office. In that compliance office, they have a compliance officer and staff for football alone.
Yeah.
The compliance officer and staff for basketball is like the SID office and staff.
Right.
At those campuses. And I think I've told you all before. At Carolina, the SID office consists of about 25-30 people. A friend of mine who's working on his doctorate now, but he used to be at the MEAC office. He went to work at University of Tennessee for several years. While he was there, he was the SID for what they call net sports, volleyball, tennis, men and women.
Non-revenue sports.
And that was about it. You know, if he so chose, he could help out in other areas as needed, especially in the off-season kind of thing. But, you know, what do I always tell you all? So many people at HBCUs treat athletics as if it's just an extracurricular activity. They don't understand the business side. They don't, you know, I don't know if you've seen.
Look there.
Roland Martin has roasted Dr. Robinson's mess to a point where I don't even want to touch it, but it's probably still burning. But anyway.
I know he probably got his ass good. Yeah.
He, several of the things he brought out that old, to me is old news. Okay. You know that this is coming. You knew this was coming months ago. Okay?
Yeah.
You knew when you fired the former AD, and in the process, you also fired your compliance office, such as it was.
Yeah.
I think it may have been two people with the secretary. Okay? In that process, You failed to cover your ass when you took the coverall with the previous AD that you had to explain why he was fired, and there's nothing other than in place. Other than he served at the pleasure of the chancellor / president.
Right.
And because of that.
I'm sorry, one aspect of this, Fred, that I got to speak on. You know, I don't know how much it costs to charter a plane, but I do know there's no romance in a 13-hour bus ride. And when I mean, I'm saying the sense of purpose that these kids know they represent a school, a program, you know, all of that goes out the window when you have a compliance officer that doesn't know how to make people comply. And the fact that they might have gotten high sixes or low seven for this exhibits the lack of respect for HBCUs to even take care of their own. You know you're under scrutiny. You know, it's like the brother saying your shit's got to be cleaner than clean. They already know. if they could have used you and got what they got out of you, this wouldn't be a conversation. But they know, and they've seen proof of it. Howard 46, UNLV 45, to know that it's possible. They don't want it to be possible. Appalachian State 36, Michigan 35. They know it's possible, you know, as plucky as Appalachian State was in their victory, Tony McClain is in the mix. You know, it's like, we don't want
Michael,
you to
Michael, I'm going to say it one more time.
Yeah.
I know, it's not going to agree with me, but it is time to stop playing games. What I mean is NWAZ has got to help the MEAZ. And MEAZ got to help the NWAZ. And these two conferences will join up together and make one conference, Northern South.
Gary, I hate to do this.
Wait.
Hold on. Professor's going to back me up. What you said, Gary, I agree 100%. But when you got Negroes, high administrators that got egos out there, well, I'm just going to let the professor tell you.
But
you got people
put,
mad
they
because
the
they can't get their picture on the homecoming program.
They need
no,
to
professor,
put the egos down.
Because, look,
I'm telling you right now, if they don't get over this, they are a dead conference.
Gary.
Tell us how these people, these presidents be acting, Professor.
Gary. What's that term that Michael likes to use? Assholery?
Yep, asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with some of the personality, shall we say, who sit in those chairs as president and chancellor. I don't care how great an education they have or what kind of school they might be in, it goes across the whole kingdom of HBCUs. It don't matter NAIA, Division One, that means nothing. The level of assholery that goes on at so many schools, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
And since I gave a cussing out, let it go ridiculous.
It warms my heart to hear Fred talk like this. Go ahead.
You have to understand the kind of animal you're dealing with. They hire people, when they hire people in the most athletic programs, one of the reasons that they do what they do, especially at the Division II level, they have to be, they got to be qualified to teach class.
Right.
And in the process, they also have to be, quote unquote, qualified to do the job that they're being asked to do, and that's not always so. You get some people who are quite good and do quite well. In addition to what they know coming in, there's other things. You know, they have these things called seminars.
Yeah.
They have these things called professional development. You know, all those kind of things. You got to have to do the commissioner of whatever conference it is. And I think one of the things that irks me right now is the SWAC went through a change of leadership. Hopefully, I think they've gotten somebody who's committed to staying because he just signed a new contract. I think we're solid in the CIAA, and I think we're more solid in the MEAC than we think we are. But then we just had another commissioner installed in the SIAC, you know, and the guy, the person that was there before him, barely wiped the dust out of the state before he was gone. You see, you got to have stability as well as you got to have a mindset that is conducive to the sports entertainment business. This is not an extracurricular activity. This is not.
Yeah.
This is
okay.
This is not,
what has to change? Okay. What has to change to make the mindset different? What do you gotta do?
Okay, Gary. The thing you gotta remember is, fortunately or unfortunately, you're dealing with schools here. You have you have counselors who typically have a quote unquote educator's mindset. Okay? And in the process of hiring people, they look for people with PhDs and whatever. You know. We at Winston-Salem State have a compliance guy who also runs the physical therapy and he runs the sports management department. Okay, we don't even use him totally the way he should be, because here's somebody who teaches sports management and has developed a very good program. But then when they hire people, they go hire people with other majors. Now, part of that has to do with the fact what you're going to pay them. And my thinking is, okay, who makes the most money in most businesses? The sales department. Why?
Yeah.
Because their pay is connected with what they produce. That's why, you know, that's why one of my friends that used to, when I first went to work for Sears, he would work for Allstate. And, you know, homeboy was country as corn shucks. But he did some seminars, the personal development things that he sent him to. Yeah, you know, you run the risk of not making money if you're not highly producing until you get to a certain level and your residuals and all that kind of stuff kick in. But then, you know, he's still getting, you know, he's been retired since early 2000. And homeboy, and of all people, he's an Aggie. But he was smart enough to get involved in that. And he's getting residuals now from stuff he sold years ago. And because of that, because you got an educated mindset, you don't want to get out there with somebody and say, well, we want to control how much you make. Because, I mean, a friend of mine wrote a proposal for an HBCU about 20 years ago. And the athletic director looked at it, and all he looked at was, you can end up making more money than I do. Well, he's bringing in more money than you bring in. But that nothing, but see, he instead, the guy was an alumnus, a good salesperson. Good all around. But at the same time, You're dealing with that narrow mindset who's more worried about how much this guy makes for sales. And two or three people at other schools told him, hey, that's the way to go. Give them enough to get started, but then let them eventually go out on their own and build their own.
It sounds like there's too many people exerting too much CYA energy instead of creative energy and practical energy in trying to make this thing work. Tony, you spent time down there. You experienced all of this. You know, everybody knows what's coming. This was no accident. You got spotlight on you. Every aspect of what Professor Whitted and entertainment has come to pass is going to be on full display. And yet, they drop the ball and cause all these potential fuck-ups and an atmosphere of downright assholery. Not trying to be funny, but it's true.
No, it's a... Yeah. Look, end of the, I mean, this is beyond Will Gimble's talk to Macy's sort of deal.
Right.
Here. The thing is, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Truth be told, there's just as much catfighting and bitching and moaning between the predominantly white schools. But the major difference is, when it comes down to the money, they will sit at the table, you know.
Exactly.
You know, as much as Jimbo may call Saban a butthead, when they're ready to divvy up that money for the SEC, you know, all of a sudden they turn into Denzel Washington, my nigga.
That's right.
That's basically, and see, therein lies the thing. And see, the thing about it is, Gary, and again, when we say it, it's not to ridicule, it's not the whatever, because Lord knows there are people before, during, and after who have had this same conversation and have just been, you know, flabbergasted and, you know, unsettled. And I mean, it you know, there was a, remember that old, Mike, remember that old Morris Day line? Don't it make you mad? That's exactly what it does. That is exactly what it does. And see, what's so sad is, even with some of the youngins that are part of the movers and shakers of HBCU sports, there's still enough of the quote-unquote old guard to whatever. You know what? Here's a perfect example. The National Football League. No one likes Daniel Snyder. No one liked Bill Bidwell. No one, you know, but the thing was, when they came together in regards to money, again, I'll do my Denzel thing, my nigga. That's the thing. And see, therein lies the difference. When Pete, you know, here's the thing. While we all know the impact that Super Bowl III had and Super Bowl IV did to reinforce it, if Art Modell tells Pete Rozelle, I'm not going to the AFC, that, you realize how the history of professional football would have changed? And see, therein lies the rub. No one, unfortunately, yep, with all the educated and I do mean, you know, sarcastically educated folks, they, you know, they literally think themselves out of it. There's only a handful of Mr. Harvey's down in Hampton and a few others who come to mind that have thought outside the box. And see, here's the thing. Instead of embracing them, they've been ridiculed. Now, look, I don't, you know, we all know the kind of personality Mr. Harvey has. You know, when you shake his hand, if you come back with four fingers, consider yourself blessed.
Is that what you're saying?
But with that being said, Hampton has always been forward thinking. And see, here's the thing I think that bothers all of us as black folks. The one thing with every aspect of what we've done, whether it's business, whether it's music, whether it's politics, whether it's entrepreneurship, black folks have always been ahead of the curve. The fact that you have literally a gazillion dollar industry that is still, God forgive me, living in the Chitlin circuit is bothersome.
Yep.
Because, and what's even bothersome is that even after all these years, they still don't get it in regards to what it, because the thinking is so short-sighted, and at the end of the day, it hurts the kids and it hurts the brand. Because see, here's the thing. To me, I've said this from day one, and I will say that till the end of time. HBCU's sports history stands to me above all these, you know, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, or what have you. They all their history is rich. It's in your face. It's whatever. You know, when I hear them, when I hear the quote unquote networks tell me that the Wisconsin band is one of the best bands in all of college football.
Who's judging that? But see,
again, this is where it's incumbent upon all of us here on this thread to push it out there. We, you know, the sad thing is we've got to do what they want.
Here's my question, guys. Now, we have told you over and over again what reality is. So what is it going to take for you to understand that your idea is fine, but the people in charge don't want to have it?
Don't beat Gary up because of his optimism. I'm very, very serious when I say that, because in this world where being negative absolutely puts money in people's pockets, it's Gary's you know, attitude has always been refreshing. I think that's what has always set Gary apart as a journalist. You know, I don't want to turn this into a Gary Gray infomercial, but
my question to Gary again, you know, like I said, Gary, I love you and your idea is fine, but over and over again, we have dealt with these people in administration, and like Professor Ted, you got presidents that get upset at homecoming because there's not enough pictures of them and more of the football team. That's the kind of pictures that goes on. That's what I'm asking, Gary.
It's about business. It's about
Gary, you're a thousand percent correct. But see, again, you know, look, what is one of the most frustrating things in regards to politics and racism? The mindset. What is the biggest problem? Exactly. And see, you know, it's, you know, what was the old Pogo line? We have seen the enemy and it is us.
We have seen the enemy and they is us.
Unfortunately, even for all the, and see again, see, I don't want to make it sound like nothing has happened over the years. You know, look, we all know the impact that HBCU sports as a whole has had, will have, and will always have. But and I hate to invoke the butt sisters.
Breaking news.
Oh shit! She came back from down.
Now you're talking. All right. Serena Williams comes back and deals in second now.
Oh, Gary, you didn't say nothing about the Mets beating the Dodgers.
The Mets.
Well, that's not breaking news.
You slipping,
son. That's not breaking news. Now, but Serena's breaking news for sure. They were upwards of over $5,000 for seats to see.
And the price just went up again.
But my question is, Las Vegas, her winning the title. What's the line on her winning the title now?
Well, put it this way. Reg, she just beat the number two seed.
That's right.
Hey, and the other people beat themselves up.
And you know there's always a but.
Yeah.
If they don't mind if she wins. See, what y'all not missing, what you're missing is they won't mind even if she wins this. Because if she wins, All she can do is tie Margaret to the court.
Yes.
See, they don't want her to pass.
Michael, one thing about this that makes me really angry,
What?
Uh-oh.
Get Marvin the Martian and shit.
I've never known Gary to be angry about anything. This is shocking.
Oh, no.
This is shocking.
Oh, Lord.
I got a bridge to tell you.
$5.2 million.
Yeah, we know. We know.
Look.
Now, see, now, now
here's
pick up on this.
We're number cattle, like, man. You look at us being cattle.
Look,
this is a time issue right
day,
here.
Sure. But end of the day, see, Monday night, see, a lot of people thought that she was going to get beat Monday night.
Yep.
Let's just put that on.
Yep.
A lot of people thought that she was going to get beat Monday night.
Including Gail King in them.
well, that's a 2 hour subject in and of itself. But that being said, what was interesting watching tonight, it was more because, like, when she won the first, you know, the first set took an hour because she was down. She came back, Now, homegirl caught up and, you know, caught her second win in the second set. But then, you know, it's like you could almost see, got you right where I want you in the third set.
That's exactly right. She is a predator.
The thing to me that's going to be the greatest thing to watch, you know, look, she's not playing these women. She's playing with the legends, with her fellow goats. And I guess,
exactly.
Like, you know, it's only going to tie. But you know what? The fact that she still did it in an era where it was tougher to do, and again, nothing to take away from Margaret Court. Margaret Court was tremendous, but when you realize the era that Serena was doing, see, remember, Serena, much like Ali, much like Jim Brown, much like Wilt Chamberlain, you know, coming in, you know, it's like the pack of college sweet. Everybody and their mama knows they're gonna run it. You still got to stop it and run up the alley. And that's the thing
that's
with her.
Exactly,
you know, and we'll see. What's interesting tonight, and I think it's fair, they're saying, you know, is she going to have the stamina because she hasn't played in as many tournaments? But here's the funny thing. They were saying that 20 years ago, too.
That's right.
She looks much better because
this is what she decided was her last go round. She's going to give it every bit of essence to do right and succeed. I got D'Orlando Ledbetter and our brother Patrick Farrar in the house as well. Gentlemen, can y'all hear me?
Loud and clear, brother. Loud and clear.
Absolutely. D, how much does it cost, in your estimate, to charter a plane?
Where you want to go?
Well, if you're HBCU, you want to get these bastards from point A to point B without the drama and the politics that go on here.
All right, so understand this, because people listen to our show, as C-Mac and I have discovered over the past, and you have as well, we won't discuss the exact price, because they're going to pay us. They're going to pay us. I know exactly that number, but it's not as much as
you
think.
Okay.
Yeah, but we
that's
don't discuss
that
on open airways.
You don't have to say no more, but the whole point is, yes, chartering a plane was not above it all. It made a lot of sense to do this, yes or no?
Oh, yeah. Listen.
Okay.
You start getting
set airline B to start moving these HBCUs around. Now you're talking about a real conference because the fact that I can go from Tupelo, Mississippi, up to Jersey City and play a game against Jersey City State. He's a fictional name, obviously. And get my team back to Tupelo. In time for them to at least go to the second half of their class the next day.
Yes.
You're talking about major. And I'm not gonna put that out on the radio. It's to the advantage of the HBCUs right now if they are functioning in a 1990, not even 2023, boys.
I want to congratulate you on your new venture, man. I'm proud of you guys, man. Congratulations.
Oh, man, thank you. Still, a lot of work. And we're going to talk in detail with all of you gentlemen because we're going to need something. And Patrick, I need to rap to you, Patrick, because I found out something. So we joined at the same time, which is ironic. Because what I will say to you guys, do you know that the NFL is collecting all of the Bose headsets that's been used at every NFL stadium last year? They're taking them back, and they're just going to destroy those headsets.
Why?
Holy shit!
Why?
Yeah,
they are going to destroy them.
Sound like the Watergate tapes. This is fuck wild.
No, we're talking about Class A Bose top quality headsets.
Is this John Gruden email? Did something do with John Gruden email? Is that what it is?
No. But I was promised by someone, and someone told me that they're under the instructions of the NFL that they have to count, and they know the exact amount that was sent to each squad to return them from a team, to return them to the NFL for them to be disposed of.
Wow. Censorship is
imagine what those headsets would do for each of us, our own individual entities.
No kidding.
Both headsets.
The write-off from that is just obscene.
And
I should tell you
what's and here in Jersey, Bergen County is the next county over from Hudson County, which Hudson County is pretty, prolific. Financially.
That's a money
county. Bergen County is one of the richest counties in the country. Over the years, in front offices, I've been particularly with the Nets, and now over my years in the NFL, they have so much equipment. Let me give you a perfect example. There's a high school called Bergen Catholic in Bergen County. It's in the city called Morrisdale, where my old football coach, which we played, played against them. They said, we're going to a bluegrass country. Bluegrass? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Well, once we got up there, I saw what it's called bluegrass. They have a stadium and equipment like college, and real quickly, we had a pretty good team. And told them about 60 white boys came out with the uniforms tailored at each one. And they did an Alabama drill. We said, what kind of we got ourselves into? But the point is, it was, the game was 40-0 in the first half. But we came back and got it, but they broke my boy's leg. Ricky Glover, the whole Hall of Famer, I played right next to Ricky.
Yeah.
We stopped him in the second half. But anyway, the point is, all that equipment that the Giants get or the NFL gets, guess who gets that and throw away? You know why? It goes to Bergen County. Because NFL players live in Bergen County, Jets and the Giants.
Yep.
So this is not, it's unusual, but it's peculiar when they're throwing the headsets away this year. Because they will usually get some of that stuff out to teams, all the high school teams in that area. That's strange.
Listen,
but
we beat St. Anthony's a couple of times, so I'm going to claim them for Roman Catholic. I mean, I pull out my little Catholic school roots, even though I don't like to acknowledge it. I went to Roman Catholic. I need those damn headsets. I need four.
Yes,
that's all I need.
Yes, indeed, man.
Really?
But again, they give an equipment like range like the Niagara Falls to that county, those Catholic schools, which they should be giving to some public schools. As a matter of fact, when they had the Super Bowl, they came to my studio, and we talked about doing a segment or doing a PSA to where they would give away some of the equipment once we got some stuff worked out. But it never worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, to destroy those headsets now is like lunch money. Or get a sponsor to get them all new ones, whether it be Bose who might have one else, they'll get a sponsorship, they get some new ones next year like it's nothing to it.
You know that Warner Brothers cartoon where you see Granny throwing away money in the flames, you know, money to burn?
Yeah. That's
exactly
what
this is.
It's nothing to them. But, you know, I'm curious to find out specifics. You got me thinking, but I'm going to talk about that later.
All right. Well, that said, how come a proposal has not been made to air carrier to be the official air carrier of blank, blank conference? What's going on with the mindset?
Mike, that's been proposed. That's been proposed by, I'll send you an email of three different proposals for this year. All right?
Uh-huh.
That's this year. I'll send you six more proposals. What, I got 24 years in aviation? Yeah, I'll send you some. I've been on this kick forever. And it's beneficial because the black spending dollar, when it comes to aviation, you know how much we spend per year?
I don't want to hear this.
Listen, we say black people own Spirit Airlines and Frontier Airlines.
Oh, jeez.
Don't be fooled, gentlemen. Just because they don't have it comfortable in the back, they are the most modern fleet in America today. Spirit and Frontier. They are all brand new airplanes, neo aircraft that don't burn any fuel, and that's why they're able to do what they do.
Why is the service so damn bad?
Because it was all discovered in Ryanair and EasyJet did this over in Europe back in 2001, where the Europeans wanted to go around and they decided to pay absolutely nothing. It doesn't cost them anything. They don't have a business model that they need to support or a bunch of frequent flyers. So it's beneficial. Wow. And if you're a young pilot, especially a young brother, unless you get in with United or Delta to start, I would recommend you go to Spirit and fly Spirit from here.
You got to go with Soul Plane. Don't you tell me. We got to go with Soul Plane, a.k.a. Spirit.
Look, it could be Spirit. It could be another airline I can't mention because I'm grit. They got me on the dog leash.
We know your line of work, Orlando.
Yeah. But it's all beneficial because the airline itself writes that off because that's taken care of. You know, this so-called minority population, you know, global majority, the minority, in their eyes. And that this is easy.
But Orlando, no offense. If I'm sitting Friday in Richmond, and I hope to get back from Richmond to Charlotte, North Carolina on Saturday, and I'm still sitting in Charlotte on a Monday, what the hell is going on?
Oh, that's a lot of things, Reg. Look, just because...
I'm just saying...
No, there's a lot of things in that. I'll go 2 minutes and then we get back on top. If we start flying out of Newark at 10 o'clock this morning, right? we got 14 hours worth of duty time. So you count 14 wow. hours from 10 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we're supposed to do a flight to L.A., but they decided to send us to Houston. It take us 5 hours to get to Houston for weather, ATC, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Down there. Now we got to still come back to Newark, right? Or
mm-hmm.
go somewhere and put us down. The airlines are trying mm-hmm. to manipulate and route these places because it's all based on seniority, union contract rules, everything else. There's a lot of times,
okay.
especially you never book the last flight because, yeah, your flight is running late.
Yeah.
But they call me to get on that plane. I'm not taking that plane. I'm on my go-home day. This is day three
yeah,
out of
yeah.
a three-day trip. I'm not taking that trip to
mm-hmm.
go to Charlotte, to go to Richmond, to spend the night? No, no.
Mm-hmm.
It don't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
let me ask this question. Didn't somebody buy Spirit?
What's that?
Didn't somebody buy Spirit?
Spirit was purchased by JetBlue. Spirit was purchased by JetBlue.
Okay.
Because of what I said, right? Spirit, if you remove that cabin, right, and you put it as a JetBlue cabin, they're all brand new airplanes. JetBlue,
wow.
What Edelman did was JetBlue got started because Airbus wasn't really selling in the U.S. market back in the day. The only people that were flying
that's
Airbus
right.
was,
yeah,
Northwest,
that France or something like that. Yeah.
Was Northwest and U.S. Airways.
So JetBlue, mm-hmm. Airbus goes overseas when they go to England. Those are Jet.
That's
those
right.
are Airbus and JetBlue.
But, Ray, that's Airbus Neo. It's a Neo. Has a newer engine, redesigned
okay,
wing.
Is American or Delta part of JetBlue? Which one? American
no,
or Delta?
Nobody's part. No, American had an alliance with them. But JetBlue's trying to make power moves on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
shit.
Has any American company ever subsidized an airline?
Oh, no. No, we're the only country in the world that doesn't have an airline subsidized by
mm-hmm.
a country.
Right.
And Mike, let me tell you, like I told you before about the
mm-hmm.
New York Jets,
yep.
why they, one of the biggest reasons to take the New York Jets to draft
mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson, because
yep.
folks don't know who his uncle is. His uncle's the guy
uh-oh.
That owns JetBlue.
Holy
oh.
shit.
I thought he owned part of the UPS.
And one of JetBlue's customers is who?
Mm-hmm.
Were their planes
wow.
painted in JetBlue livery?
Wow.
Right. Yeah, JetBlue's not – they're not stupid. But you give them Spirit now, and now you allow them newer airplanes, because their other airplanes were almost 20 years old with an inefficient engine. I'm not going to bore you guys with the engine talk. But
no,
now
I don't
these
know
Spirit
going on.
Are
I don't know what the hell's going on. No, tell me. I want to know the
no,
hell's
no,
going
no.
on.
No, no, no. See, Airbus has three different engines. Back in the day, they had an IAE engine, right, which was
mm-hmm.
a long-haul engine, but it didn't give you power. Then you had a CFM engine. All of JetBlue planes were IAE engines when it started. So if you travel on JetBlue going to the West Coast in October and March, you probably had to make a tech stop in Colorado somewhere or Kansas to refuel because the wind was too hard. No,
okay.
no, the wind is too heavy, right?
Did you say a tech
yeah, you
got to
make a tech
stop. Like,
make a tech stop.
Like, let the tech get in there and check in the plane. Oh,
no,
hell
no.
No,
no, no, no. You got to be refueled. That's all a tech stop means is a refuel. Now, they came out with a later version with a CFM engine. That's powerful, but the CFM wings weren't there. Then Airbus decided about 6 years ago to make these engines neo engines. So they're newer engines, all different blades. They don't burn any fuel. They can cruise as high as they need to at 40,000 feet. That's the move. And that's why these airlines are killing. They're killing. So you got EasyJet over in Europe. You got Spirit. You got Spirit, Frontier. You got another airline.
Raiders football team, what's that one?
The Raiders are flown by Hawaiian Airlines, and they've been flying them the last 30 years.
No, I'm talking the name on the stadium, the airline that's on the stadium of the Raiders.
Allegiant.
So
that's another one, Allegiant.
Allegiant.
Yeah.
That's another one. It's
yeah, I
used
to fly that to Tennessee
here
all the time.
Right.
Mm.
So and you wonder why no black folks are in this aviation game. We got all this money. We want to be on private planes, but nobody, you know, that Hope, whatever her name is, and I'm not starting red, but that the why we haven't, you know, formulated our money.
No, you're
to
right.
Get an airline.
Right. And none of that soul plane bullshit. We're talking about legitimate ownership. And practical usage.
That's what I'm trying to name them. There's no excuse for our Spirit airline or the other ones could have hooked up the damn football team and the damn marching band. That would have been a nice little payday.
Reg, stop saying that for free, brother. Don't say that on the air for free.
No,
Don't name an airline.
Listen, the Honda could have used a commercial or could have been used in a commercial to promote being flown by Spirit Air or having Spirit Air or whichever airline being the airline for HBCUs.
I wonder if it's cheaper for them to fly like that, Orlando, rather rent them buses and refuel and the cost of $13 when they came out of here flying and they had the buses there.
Wouldn't it make money themselves to have these tournaments, the CIAA tournament, the SWAT tournament, NEAC, SIAC, to be sponsored by such and such?
Yeah,
so,
but here's the point.
Let the church say,
you know, Orlando, when we was at the MEAC, you and I approached the commissioner and told her, how come you don't have a hotel sponsored the MEAC? Why don't you have your own airline?
All the family secrets. You can't tell her what we put in the cornbread.
I know. I got delirious.
Gentlemen, there's something that's missing from this, and that is the Negro League factor. That is, we'll do it ourselves. Hold on a second. There were black hotels that sprung up just as easily as there can be a black airline. You know, there were people who were doing this, and they were committed to doing this, and they understood the big picture in this. The Negro Leagues were like that. They understood the big picture. Nothing was more pleasurable than going to a baseball game with the Black Yankees against the Baltimore Elite Giants, and knowing that at Lenox Lounge, they were going to be there so you could hobnob or maybe have an autograph or share a drink with these same brothers. That's what this is about. Commonality.
Uh-huh.
They're not seeing what's going on. There was purpose. Back in the day, we rooted for Prairie View A&M, even if I didn't live anywhere near it, because we knew those brothers were going to play their ass off against who they were supposed to, because there was a moral imperative to whip that ass.
Michael, we have become self-centered. What I mean is this. I went to a Southern game, San Jose State.
Yeah.
In 1996.
Uh-huh.
Every university, people saw every university jackets, sweaters, jerseys, I saw every one of them. Grammy, Morgan, Howard, A&T,
Got it?
This is California.
You can't tell me that this won't support itself. Just like we're in the hood, you saw Georgetown starter jackets, even though over half those people never went to Georgetown.
Hell, it's the same
thing. You can't expect. You can't.
That
you can't
Georgetown
anything
but over Georgetown
here. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Fight, Mike.
Truth be told,
Georgetown was about as much of an HBCU as you can get without being one.
And Tony, you're 100% correct. I can recall. I was working back in college this time, but you know, I played ball on campus all the time. Pick up basketball. I saw on more young brothers with Georgetown jackets walking around campus in Ohio State stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Quick question. Basketball is typical of
Yeah.
Right, well, Orlando, quick question. Now, when it came to North Carolina paying out that money to Florida A&M, do they get the money after the game or is the contract before the game?
The contract's already signed. They already signed that contract, and it's been put into the budget of Florida A&M secondary program, so...
So
the non-profitable program.
They could have used it to charter the plane.
Listen. You.
I know. Hey, Patrick, I'm delirious. I know. What the hell do I know?
I got a third grade education.
What do I know?
Orlando. Florida State. Did not play that game. What would happen?
Florida State's going to play that game because Florida State will travel on a Delta A330, an international Delta airplane. Oh, if they couldn't play that game, then they would lose that money. They would lose that money if they're unable to compete in a money game, which would hurt their budget.
Mike, this goes along the line of what I told you this afternoon. Your point is correct in terms of the layout of the how it works in terms of distribution of funds based on what you sign on a game. I watched just about all of the Howard Alabama State games in and out through the 4 hours it was on. I was in the back, so I said,
that was a chore watching that game.
But you know something? Here's the back end of it. They showed the whole game.
Yes.
And since that time, that game has been on at least 6 times on ESPN.
See? There you go.
Yep.
Hey, question. Hey, no, Patrick. Hey, got a question for you, Patrick. Back in the 70s, I never got Tennessee State played Virginia Union at Tennessee State. They were traveling on Piedmont Airlines back in the 70s. And I'm like, what the hell happened that they got these visionaries back in the day, and now these clowns act like they don't know nothing about chartering planes? I mean, all the other white people do it. When it comes to HBCU, what the fuck is going on?
You know, Oklahoma State flies their basketball team, men and women, fly on a 70-seat turboprop aircraft.
Wow.
It's been reconfigured for 55 people, right, but it can hold up to 70, so it has the pitch, all right, to fly them around. Gonzaga flies my airplane that I learned on, the Dorian 328. It's a jet.
Okay.
It's a little jet that can hold 30 people. It has 25 seats. So, again, we increase the pitch. Allow them to get on that airplane. They can get on that airplane, and you can fly from Spokane, and I can get you all the way down to Kansas City nonstop, no problems. If you look at March Madness, those guys fly around and they do stops.
Yeah.
Who cares if you stop one time and you stand on the plane?
That's right. When you consider the fact that only 6 people visit Spokane, Washington a year.
But Gonzaga, when they're not using that airplane for them, right? They get that airplane. Idaho State flies that airplane. They fly their teams around there.
So you're talking about
something, Reg. That's why I say don't tell them what we put in the cornbread. All right, but it financially, it is a You're talking about breaking something that's major that will change the face of black college sports.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, wait a minute. Hold on, guys. Didn't the guy from Shaw buy airplane for the team?
Was it Gary?
No, he didn't buy the guy
from Shaw University buy a plane for his team?
No, they used his plane. That was his first plane.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
When they went to the national championship back in 12, they flew on, it's called Spirit of Justice, I think it's in the plane. But that was before his twins kicked in here to see how to ride. But another story.
Look, where you are, Professor, there are several airlines that are based out of Greensboro that all they do is fly NBA, college, and professional teams around with older airplanes, right, that you wouldn't fly commercially, Reg. And this is the thing. You get a 40-year-old airplane, you got, as long as you got the right maintenance, airplanes are designed to still fly. We can go get a 727 for about $150,000. But if we got the right maintenance person to maintain that airplane and you update that thing, right, you can fly a 727. You don't need a jetway because the stairs drop out of the ass of the aircraft. They can walk on board that airplane. It can carry anything.
Wow.
And we can fly it. We can stop. We can fly it to Salt Lake City from the East Coast nonstop, refuel, and then take that airplane from Salt Lake City to Hawaii. It has the legs for that.
That's not bad. That's, you know, that's some illuminating stuff. Truly it is. You know, D, that's right on time, because this issue of HBCUs having egg on their face with situations that put them in a bad compliance trick bag makes it even worse. And we know that the media is just waiting for the next opportunity for any HBCU to slip up. They buried Savannah State, or at least they surely tried to bury Savannah State when it was their time in the barrel. Grambling, we already know the historical background and what they did regarding the players. That was terrible. And now FAMU, the issue with the 100, the issue with any HBCU, they know. The administration knows. It's like, why allow yourself to be put in this situation?
I love what the players did, basically, you know, calling them out for what, calling them out the way they should have, and rightfully so. And see, here's the stuff that's terrible, really. That's the stuff we know about on the surface. You've got to know that some of these other schools are going through the same thing.
All I gotta say is these stadiums on these HBCU campuses that are named after great people. Not saying great people, but if we want to get serious about it, right? Harvey had the right idea. He named that Pepsi Cola Center after his bottling company up in Michigan by calling it Pepsi Cola. Some of these universities are right on the flight paths of certain airports, and I won't say names, no state. That your whole campus, the buildings on the top of the buildings, like Norfolk State, that's exactly what I said, NSU, Liberty City State, right? Maryland Eastern Shore, you see Maryland Eastern Shore, every plane going to New York, coming up the coast, flies right over Maryland Eastern Shore. Right? If you think that Maryland Eastern Shore could make some money by putting Allegiant on the top of their rooftop.
Hello. There you go.
And let me throw this in also. Out of all these schools, I'm preaching to the choir, and I'm preaching again the same sermon. Out of all these schools, here's a question. All of them have business acumen curriculums in some form or some area, particularly
absolutely.
You mean to tell me we can't? Don't get me started. I need to shut up.
No. But you know what's so crazy? Because again, they want to play the academic thing. Well, you're not even using that.
You want to be up on the athletic, but you're academic level.
Look, see, I'm going to tell them how we make the tea, the iced tea. So I'm going to let them know the recipe for iced tea, and I'm going to tell you marketing programs. You're a marketing major at an HBCU. You come in your freshman year. What you do your freshman year, you're going to learn. You're going to be responsible for the marketing of bowling, a sport like bowling, right? The next year, you move up, right? By the time you get to junior year, you're handling women's basketball. The seniors and the grad students should be handling the men's basketball team, the football team, and if you're at a school that baseball, like a Vanderbilt or whatever like that, where baseball is dominant, you handle that sport as a senior or a graduate student. You have 4 years worth of experience marketing a college sports. No, not internships. You are doing the work at school. That's what allowed me to get into broadcasting because I got into sports broadcasting as the only freshman in this program that was starting for upperclassmen. By the time I left that school, I called over 150 games, 2 Final Fours, and been to the Olympics.
There you go.
And wait, and let me edit that. That model is what every major school, white school I know,
Missouri and Syracuse,
exactly.
They ain't no smarter than nobody else, but they put things in the process. I mean, what you said, I'm going to give you a perfect example. I do Big East basketball too. Seton Hall just implemented a program in which they got some of the ex-pro ball players who are taking graduate courses at Seton Hall to help them as front people to get themselves introduced to market to sponsors to do a program that they just finished at Seton Hall. You think Seton Hall is smaller than it kicks at Norfolk or Howard? No.
Nope.
You have to implement it. You got to be creative by implementing it. It can be done, but you got to want to do it.
What's sad, you know, and Orlando and Fred and Rich, what I think winds up happening with a lot of these marketing folks is that they don't deter them to sports. They deter them for stuff like the MTV Music Awards, or an entertainment or something that, you know. And again, I'm biased because I'm a sports guy. I think you can make just as much money, maybe even more so, in sports.
But it's
that mentality. It's that, you know, people don't realize those little 30-second commercials. I remember as a kid when we would watch those games on ABC with, you know, Chris Schenkel and Keith Jackson. What always used to get me was that at halftime, they show the bands, but they would basically do a 30-second infomercial on that school up there. They would do
That's
a 30-second commercial on the University of Alabama at Tuscaloosa.
They do all the time.
Yes, they were.
Everything.
And that's a staple. That's a staple.
You do now.
It's a staple. But the fact that is that in a sense that the HBCUs literally are still sort of stumbling on it?
It is upsetting that they allow for a process to deteriorate because there's a formula that was already there that worked. That's what I find most annoying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're not reinventing the wheel. Hell, it's already there. Like Orlando said, here's the plan.
Well, gentlemen, I know what we'll have to do. What we'll have to do, Fred, before you get the last word on this one, is we'll have to see the fallout from this because we already know the other forces will marshal up to put their front up and say, see, you can't take your little black ass to HBCU because they don't even know how to take care of you. And they don't have to say it like that, but that's exactly how it will feel. And we know he who feels it knows it. Unfortunately, all we can do is put up whatever buffer we can to objectively lay both sides of this out so they can see that when Daryl and Patrick, everybody else on the thread here has the offer, you know, is of value, and it will be taken into consideration without other side agendas in the mix. Fred, you get the last word on this.
Well, some years ago, while Coach McClendon and all the old heads were still with us, we were at a meeting in Warren State and Durham, and we had some educational leaders, shall we say, there. And one of the questions I brought to them is, why don't you use students with the radio, TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Because this is during the time we're getting easier and easier to broadcast. Not quite full digital as it is now, but, you know, they were recording too, recording on hard disk. Anyway, the response by several of the educational leaders was more or less, they're not professional. So back then, you know, they had people like Bill Franklin and a few others who were taking young people, put them in the seat beside them, and making them work. They made them doing all kinds of stuff. You know, looking towards having them becoming professional on air or on radio and television. And unbeknownst to them, as we know now, getting them prepared, people like Stephen Gaines and some of the others who are out there broadcasting over the internet. And I would have got a better response from some educational leaders if I had call them out of their knees than what I got. Because those are not professionals. So you're going to hire these white guys who don't know diddly about the school. Black guys who went to white schools who don't know diddly about the school.
Come on.
And my contention was, if we teach our own what we need to know, what they need to know. And I remember Coach McClendon at one of these meetings, he sat there, he didn't have to pick his head, you know, he just kind of looked down, looked at the team. And I think about that meeting so many times because one of the biggest problems we have now.
Is that Robin Griffin in the background trying to get in? Is that Robin Griffin?
You don't know business. They don't hire people who know business. They just hire people who can fit their own. And the sad thing is, the communication, the people they hire their buddy, or their buddy's a buddy. You know, come on. Because think about it. Eric Moore put most HBCUs on the internet before they were on the internet themselves, right? But guess what? When they got ready to go on the internet, guess what they did? They didn't call
went
him.
Went to the white folks. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I hate to say this, but Mike, I'll tell you this. And this is going to be the benchmark for what I'm afraid, hopefully it doesn't, but what might happen. Going to leave to set my table later on, and that's this.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about now in terms of the construct of how we want to promote HBCU to put out the product, I have to say it. But what's going to happen, some little white boy from Harvard is going to look at the situation and say, I like the model. He's going to write, the model. He's going to present it to some school. He's going to bring a sponsor with him because his daddy knows somebody and the co and build the model for what we've done. And he's going to get credit for doing something that black schools should have done. Watch out.
Exactly.
I hate to say it, but I'm afraid it might happen.
It's a BET version of HBCU sports.
Just so you know, certain aspects of that's happening already.
I don't doubt it. They're going to be playing beat the clock because there's money to be made. Never ignore the fact that they're not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing this because there's money to be made. That said, I want to get back to our main topic tonight. We know the NFL season's starting up again, which means the brothers will be on display, which means there'll be all kinds of side shit going on. We have a quorum here, and I want to have the Joint Chiefs of Staff to sit down and discuss this, as it is time for the Field General. Turn up. All right, Generals McClain, Ledbetter, Farrar, Willett, Howell, and Gray, good evening. The NFL season is about to embark, and it's going to be just as fucked up as the last year. At the start of the 22 season, 22 starting black quarterbacks and 11 black quarterbacks were backups. Now, we will take the NFL from A to W, which means we have to start in Atlanta with Mariotti. Now, I got to say Mariotti would be an honorary brother because
You're making him a brother?
Yeah, he's going to be a brother.
Oh, no. More work for me now, Gary.
When Chip Kelly's non-coaching ass ran those motherfucking ducks into the ground, he got to Philadelphia, but he didn't bring his quarterback with him. So we know you can't always win with a so-called system. Athletes make systems, you know. But for all the asshole white boys who draw on a chalkboard, they get their dicks hard when they think it's going to mean that they're smart. And he always believed he was the smartest guy in the room.
Damn sure did. Right.
We will break down what's in the NFC East first, where we have Dak Prescott in Dallas, Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, Hurts don't it, and Tyrod Taylor with the New York Giants. Now,
when do we start calling Tyrod Super Dave Osborne? Because every year, man. It's something.
This brother catches more hell. Doctors trying to kill him. If not just the opposite, defense is trying to kill him. You know, he's a winning quarterback. Tyrod Taylor's main gift is that he has a photographic memory. He was so good that the Baltimore Ravens only carried two quarterbacks in their Super Bowl year because he knew the offense back and forth. So this is not a question of Brother Taylor being dumb. It's a question of the Giants being conservative and wanting that white guy taking care of their on-field CEO position. Patrick, you saw a lot of Giants action. What's your overtake on the Giants and Taylor?
Well, Taylor I saw him when he rolled out through the pass, I saw he threw the guy clock him. Great hit. He was playing well in the drive. His back was messed up. They're resting him a little bit, but he'll be okay. And think about Tyrod. Tyrod has collected some money, so I ain't mad at him. Between the Giants, my Browns, Los Angeles, he's got some nice money, so he's okay. I'm intrigued about, as I said before, about what Philadelphia is going to do to support Jalen Hurts, stop messing around, trying to see what he's going to do. I'm tired of this nonsense, what Seaver's going to do. He got your butt in the playoff last year when he wasn't even supposed to play. So let's build around that. And there's more discussion around about Zach Prescott than about Donald Trump and his discretions. Give me a break. Let's see what he can do. We all know what the situation is. If he gets some support up front, we'll see what happens. Because they have an outstanding defense, that's for sure. And it's simple as that.
It doesn't help when one of your best linemen is going to be out of commission for almost half the season, though. So he's, you know, and you know, that hurts doubly because Zeke is still, you know, Zeke's on the other side of 30, and we all know, unless your name is Marcus Allen, there's very few running backs that still have something left after, you know, after the big 3-0 comes in. So,
no question, but I think what hurts the Giants even more is how conservative they are. The Giants are the NFL's version of Duke and Duke, because they would be the kind of company where they would say, do you think I would let a mayor run our father's business? No, Mortimer, no, I don't. And it's true. For better or worse, that's what the Giants are. Their organization is very conservative, and it's very old money. So even if somebody was brilliant, like the young black man who was their general manager for a little bit, he didn't stay long because he couldn't win every year. Even with the Giants, that mindset exists. If you're not Super Negro, if you're not Super Negro, you ain't going to last. And that's the bottom line. And we know if the Giants like that, there are many organizations that are also like that. Now, speaking of honorary brothers, we will move this to the Miami Dolphins. I'll check that. Am I talking about Miami here?
Yep.
Yeah, why not? I will talk about the Miami Dolphins and our other honorary
Miami Dolphins.
And Teddy Bridgewater, who's also going to be there as a backup. Now, this is about incredible depth as well. And, Tony, we know that Tagovailoa has played well in spots. We know that Teddy Bridgewater can play well in spots. Does this mean a great depth matchup for Miami, and how they really set up the quarterback position?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Now, the one question that always gets asked this time of the year, and Miami's a perfect example, is the new head coach going to play to Tua Tagovailoa's strength, or is he going to try to fit him in the system? Now, it definitely helps to have Waddle and a guy that's a little fleet in foot that I remember by the name of Tyreek Hill. I would think he's going to catch a few passes this year. Their defense is okay. It's not anything to write home about. The biggest thing with them is, are they going to be able to hang with Buffalo? Because there's a lot of people, not me, that are basically anointing the Bills for a Super Bowl this year. And anointing is fine, but you still got to play out there on the field. I truly feel that the Dolphins and, dare I say it, Gang Green could pose a problem.
Good Lord.
I am not saying that the Jets are going to the playoffs. They're still gonna have to buy their tickets, pretty much, if they get in. But they're turning this way. At this point in time right now, they're probably the best team in New York, and of course that's, you know, that invokes the mission of the world's tallest midget, but you know, what are you gonna do? at this point. But yeah, I truly think, here's the thing. Every year in the playoffs, at least one or two teams that come from out of nowhere to make a run. If there's ever a team that I think that has sort of that, it's Miami. You know, truth be told, couple wins here, couple wins there. Now, I temper it because, see, the way that they screwed over the coach, it still leaves a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths. I want to see them be successful, but not to be spiteful. There's a part of me that wants to see them to be too successful, you know?
Yes. And I find that intriguing. And that's intriguing. in Seattle, Geno Smith has been slated as the starter. I want to go to General Gray, since you're out there on the West Coast. What vibe do you get from Geno Smith running the offense? And can you really trust Pete Carroll? He sounds like somebody who you shake hands with and lose fingers as well.
Pete Carroll, you can't trust him as far as you can throw, but you can't throw that far.
Uh-huh.
I feel very nervous because I think Geno, there ain't no win situation.
Seattle
has no defense whatsoever. The defense is still horrible.
Mm-hmm.
A win game 45-40 or 35-38, you know, ridiculous game.
Is Richard Williams going to sign with him?
Is Pete Carroll and estimates of everybody on the thread the first person likely to be fired this year?
Hell no.
Everybody knows
who had to be fired. It's that jackass in Dallas.
He ain't going nowhere. Yeah, they get rid of that guy in Dallas first. Yeah.
Hey, they go 2-4. Jerry gonna be out there drinking wild turkey and pass it out.
What you mean like he's doing now?
When the Eagles beat him, he's gonna be pissed. When the Eagles beat him, he's gonna be upset.
I want to go to General Whittaker on this one. You know, Jacksonville long ago had three black quarterbacks, Byron Leftwich, David Garrard, and Quinn Gray. And Shaq Harris was the GM. He was running it. Now, you may have a similar situation in Baltimore where you've got, of course, Mr. Jackson, Miss Huntley, and this kid, Antonio Brown Jr., who played his ass off and should come back as their third quarterback. Three black quarterbacks since Duval County. General Witt, what's your assessment of Brother Jackson?
They play for Baltimore, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know you're talking to a stealer, man.
Here it comes.
Stealer about the Ravens. That's blasphemy.
Okay. Listen, I am a certified election official, and I've been in the precinct of time, people know that other stuff. So I know how to be hard.
It's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them, Herschel.
I think when they let the real quarterback play, they will be good, if not great. I don't know about the defense, but I will say I know about, you know, well, during the preseason, a little bit that I saw of them, the real quarterback didn't play. And it reminded me of another team that we have somewhat locally, which is across on the other side of my home state, North Carolina. They basically, until last week, they basically shielded their quarterback. And then somehow or another, coincidentally, accidentally, and not necessarily on purpose, the two quarterbacks in the running did not play that much either until the last thing. And then all of a sudden, somehow or another, he got hurt. So
them ghosts finally got him.
Yeah, them ghosts did him.
To be truthful, I was still trying to find a way to negotiate a trade so that the Panthers would trade Mr. Mayfield back to Cleveland and sign up to play since that's not going to happen now, they have eliminated his competition. So, you know, we're going to try another strategy. But
Does Baltimore write the check? Does Baltimore write the check for Brother Jackson?
They better.
You will find out if we want to win or just play.
It depends on how much money you're going to make. If you're going to make the money that you're signing, if you don't, then you play. You don't sign it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a little, I'm no agent, and I don't play one on TV, radio, or the internet, but if I'm Mr. Jackson, I sort of do what, and I know it's blasphemous for me to say this, I would do what Mr. Judge is doing down in the Bronx. Every hit, every home run, the price
all
goes
right.
up.
Price goes up.
Yeah. So every mm-hmm. win, every touchdown pass or what have you, the price goes up. The price
That's
goes
right.
up. And see, again, at end of the day, it's going to be what the Baltimore see themselves as. Now,
yes.
as long as Harbaugh is still there as the head coach, you know that he's always going to have Jackson's back. And see, that's
right.
half the thing right there. You know, he's had, you know, remember, he sat down Flacco for Jackson and never looked back. He never looked
That's
back.
Right,
That's something I don't think we've given him enough credit for that over the years.
No, you're right about that.
That being said, now it's management. Now management.
As young as Jackson was, that was very important. No, I'm glad you said that.
Absolutely. See, look, the thing, you know, in sports, whether you're a KG veteran or a youngin, when there's something about when someone brings you into the office and says, "You're our guy, we're gonna ride or die with you," and
yes.
Harbaugh has been ride or die with LJ from day one, even when it wasn't popular for him to do that. So
yes, he must.
Now it's management's turn. It's management's
mm-hmm.
turn to see now are they gonna now. It would help if all their running backs don't drop dead 2 hours before the opener again.
This
so
is true. They
hopefully,
Mike Davis is not as good as some of the talent they have before him. This kid Dobbins looked like he was going to show some real promise until he got undercut by the injury bug. General, how are you down there in Baltimore? Are they saying anything about Jackson on the negative tip?
No.
Are you
Mike, my dear, I say,
yes.
Let me be as simplistic and profound as possible. If Lamar Jackson had white skin and blue eyes, the chuckle would have been fine.
You know that. That's right.
It would have been yesterday.
Uh-huh.
You know
hey,
that.
Hey, they paid kickback Flacco.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Not to his credit,
he did win a Super Bowl. So I guess
They still have not revealed the name of that motherfucker who wrote that quote in the Atlantic about I don't care if he wins 12 MVP. Yeah.
It's on the question, Mike. It's another coach in that division. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yep.
That's what it is. I'll bet everybody's money here on the thread that it's somebody within the division.
You know, I believe that. Now, General Ledbetter, this one's for you. Out in Arizona, Kyler Murray is the starter. Now, they got on him about supposedly being sloppy when it comes to film work. So they're making sure that he's going to look at film X number of hours a day. Now, we know Kyler is small, but we also know he's elusive. He can run. He can. He knows how to throw in lanes because he is a shorter quarterback, but he does not have the overhand throwing motion like Russell Wilson does. How have you assessed Brother Murray thus far, and can Arizona, especially excited this year being the Super Bowl, how successful can they be this year with the combination of him and that coach?
Without Hopkins,
yeah,
I say they don't even make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Hopkins is that much of a game changer.
Yes, he is.
And
best hands in the league.
And all of those people in Houston should be fired, including the owner,
mm-hmm.
for letting that man walk out the door.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But
assholery at its finest.
Yeah, we haven't seen that, not in Philadelphia. You know, Reggie White. You know, Deshaun Jackson.
Hello.
You know, just. But I think Kyler will have a good year, but I mm-hmm. think they're going to struggle this year because their schedule. It's really not as favorable, but it's not as favorable this year. So I think we see Kyler take a step back, but it's not his fault. At least,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is the choir preaching to the choir, but
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be received that way. He will get bashed this year by the other folks.
No,
that's
based
true.
On really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You
mean to tell me that they're not going to do a fair and unbiased evaluation of the skills?
Not at all. They're going to treat that man like trash that he's not. But they're going to make us
mm-hmm.
believe that he is trash, and it will not be his. It will not be his fault.
Stay tuned. General Gray.
Yes,
General Gray, we have the issue.
There's
one Trey Lance who has now been given the starting spot. He plays for a coach that we know ain't shit in Shanahan.
Yep.
You know, they've got the porn star Jimmy Garoppolo out there overpaid. And
yep.
It got to the point where they couldn't do anything about him anymore except say, Jimmy, take a pay cut and sit the fuck down and let it be. Now Trey Lance has shown he's ready for prime time.
Yep.
What do you see out there in San Francisco?
I see trouble. I mean, big trouble out here. Because if Trey Lance balls out one game, they're gonna immediately think, well, we got Garoppolo. Why don't we put Garoppolo in?
Mm-hmm.
See, that seems to me that undermines.
Be careful what you wish for.
for real. It undermines this move is one of the worst moves ever in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, I equate this with the Colin Kaepernick thing.
Mm-hmm.
What Garoppolo did is exactly what Colin Kaepernick did. And they blew Kaepernick up. But they played coochie-coochie with
Lance.
Hey, Gary, remember, the kids are listening. Be careful with that. Be careful.
Yeah, no shit. Mommy, who's that man using that foul language? Name Gary Gray.
Mike and Gary, would it be safe to say again, I know I sound like a broken record, but the question with Mr. Lance is, are they going to play to his strengths? Or are they going to try to fit him into their system?
I think Zedd will let
play the way he plays. And
yeah.
That means swing batting. That means short passes and a few bombs. But they're going to play within the system.
Well, that's true.
The biggest question is Deebo Samuels in an upright position?
There you go.
Then he'll be all right. Then he'll be all right.
Yeah,
Now if he would stop stealing people's bikes, I think he would turn into a real good footballer.
Yeah,
quite honest.
I got that. Let me move on. General McClain, there seems to be a promising situation in Chicago as young brother Fields looks like he's ready for prime time. He was very sharp in his last preseason game, 3 drives, 3 touchdowns, and he sat the fuck down while the rest of the offense spread it. What do you think about brother Fields?
Well, I like the guy. For obvious reasons. We've seen what he can do at the Ohio State University.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a matter of, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but is this guy going to play to his strength or is he going to put him in the system? Now, the early returns look like that they're going to allow him to be who he is. Now, it's ironic that we just talked about both Mr. Lance and Mr. Fields, because opening weekend, they play each other in what's left of Soldier Field. Here's the thing. This is the third year that we're doing the Field Generals stuff. And what we've seen over the years with this is that there's an old Nat King Cole phrase where when actually got canceled by NBC, he said NBC is afraid of the dark, and you can sort of use that phrase to a certain extent with the NFL, because to me that's a game that should be that's a game I think should be getting a lot more press, because look, two young stars. High draft picks, giving you anything and everything that the NFL always tries to play it wants to do, but they're still trying to shove Giselle's husband and Serpico down in Wisconsin down everybody's throat.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, hey. If he don't look like if they do a remake of Serpico, who the hell else is gonna play? But see, here's the thing. Those kind of matchups, and also Mahomes and Murray are going head to head in the desert on opening day as well. See, here's the thing, folks. What Mike says about the world and sports, even more so, the league is getting blacker. And your most important position on the field is getting blacker. The first weekend we did the Field Generals, 12 black quarterbacks started on opening day. That's still been the benchmark. We've had instances where it got down as low as 7 or 8, but the 12, that dozen is still the plateau. Now, when you realize what may be going on in Seattle, if they can keep Tyrod Taylor in an upright position in the Meadowlands, and if somebody in Tennessee comes to their senses and realize that Ryan Tannehill isn't the past, present, or future, you got Mr. Fields down there as well. So it's incumbent upon us to see what's going on. And not to mention, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, what's going on in Cleveland with Mr. Brissett and Mr. Dobbs, you know.
Yeah.
And we know Watson will be back, you know, 11 weeks in or what have you, and we'll see. Now, I will say this. A lot of people are already writing off the Browns for this season. And I get it.
Right.
I understand. Mm-hmm. But, I hear Patrick giggling in the background. I got two words for you. Nick Chubb.
There you go.
Chubb. If Nick, you know, now I'm not saying they need to turn him into Earl Campbell, but it would behoove
put the young man the
to basically
put the young
to
man
give
the
him.
I'm with you.
Exactly.
There's a lot of meat in that
exactly.
Sandwich.
It's exactly
mm-hmm.
because let's face it, that division right now, you know, we still really, you know, would it be safe to say that we really just don't know just how good the Bengals are?
That's right. That's
would
exactly
that be safe
right.
To say, you think, we really don't know how good the Bengals are. The Steelers are in transition, and I don't say that to, you know, to be good, but it's a fact. They're in transition, you know, and Baltimore.
If Mike Tomlin can make Mitch Trubisky into a quarterback, he is already coach of the year. I have no question about that.
Coach of the day. Coach of the millennium.
And Mike and Tony, still with all the quarterbacks that we have in the league, there's only one black quarterback that has a national sponsorship endorsement.
Yep. That's true. But you
that's
know
right.
what? As long, you know what? Let's put it this way. We all, I think all of us pray every year that we get that Soul Bowl, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of brothers, you know, slinging and binging on Super Bowl Sunday. I think we get closer and closer to it every year. I don't know if this year is the year. I would like to hope so. But would it be terrible if Hurts, Mahomes, juked it out for the championship?
Wouldn't hurt me at all.
I would love to see that. Wouldn't be terrible at all.
Yeah, that would
and
be
Mike,
awesome. But Patrick, what's it like
yeah.
to see a brother-brother matchup on TV when they have the numbers all set and they, you know, hype it up as a potential matchup?
Well, I tell you what. If it happens, my dream is to look at the residual effect of it. What will happen
mm-hmm.
after the game is over? Of course, we want the game to be won by whomever you'd like to win. But what's going to be
right.
the residual effect?
Mm-hmm.
Why Lawrence out of Jacksonville has a national promotion with Gatorade because it's in Florida, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What opportunity is going to be opened up not only for the players, not only for the coaches, but for the back office people that were involved in making some stuff happen? What's the
uh-huh.
result going to be? Most important
man,
thing
hey,
is winning the game.
Hey, Patrick, just in 2021, Michigan versus Ohio State, you just scored a touchdown in Michigan. This is a year ago in the snow.
Yeah, I will say this. Them bitches up north better enjoy that game.
We've come a long way from that school up north to Lady Dogs.
Indeed.
You'll see it. The closer we get the game, they be as close. We were tougher than
you are. I must do this, Patrick. I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Do not let those green and gold guys come in and take over Saturday night. Put it this way. If there's a way that he could win, but Notre Dame gets beat 100-0, do it.
We got a brother coaching, though, man. Come on. The brother coaching.
There's about four guys. Four guys I know. About six guys I know. Before my work with, doing the Nets and professional stuff I work with in sports, or diehard Notre Dame people, they've been digging me. They've been ringing me. They said, we're ready for you. I said, okay. I will email you and I will Facebook you after the game.
Hey, Ohio State saved by 17 points. That's an ass with me.
That's a little high. That's a little high. I don't care.
The cynic in me wants to do an Eddie Albert impersonation. I want a 25-point lead.
That's right. Protest that play. Yes. You have to protest anything.
I will say that number one, number two stuff that they got Alabama rated number one, and they should be, because they have a much better defense than us. So I have no problem with that. At this point, whatever it means as the season gets ready to start.
Oh, by the way, did anybody
– receivers again. Maybe nothing like they were last year.
Who won the backyard brawl? Was it the West Virginia or Pittsburgh?
That's this week.
I believe it's in West Virginia tomorrow night.
West Virginia. My boy's Eugene DePullman is a big – he has his podcast is – he's a big time West Virginia played with West Virginia.
You're
going to
see some money spent.
He's going crazy.
Yes, you're going to see some money spent.
Money.
Oh,
it's going to be some liquor and some moonshine drunk. Be some drunk.
And that's just the tailgate y'all are talking about.
That's the cheerleader squad. We talking about the cheerleader squad.
As far as
deviate slightly, as far as sleepers are concerned, the general that everybody seems to be sleeping on is Russell Wilson again. He's moved to Denver.
Well,
we know he's got talent there. We knew Denver spent money on him to get him there to win a Super Bowl. So Denver seems to be motivated. The question that I think Tony asked that was really on point is, who's his main receiver going to be? We'll find out who's been playing catch with the most soon.
Mike, I'm praying to my pagan god that it will be Mr. Jeudy, because as you guys know, I have slipped over to the dark side for this football season, and I'm doing fantasy league football. My first major move was I picked Mr. Jeudy from Denver. I think he's going to have a 1,000-yard season. I'm putting my money where my very oversized mouth is.
And Tony, you're right. Denver's a team that you should watch.
The two Denver-Kansas City games, I believe they're both nationally televised games. So the league knows it and everything else. So that's going to be fun.
Yes. You got two mid-sized markets making max-sized money. Now, as far as Patrick Mahomes is concerned, I got to go to my country cousin here. General Whitty, Patrick Mahomes has mastered the playbook. I saw that last year with the way that Kansas City was winning games. What do you like about Patrick Mahomes, and what do you think? Can he do a fifth straight season of not just postseason ball, but potential Super Bowl appearance?
Well, I think he's been great for most of this season, the minimal instructions, I'll say. I think he will do well. He goes to the playoffs. Unfortunately, at some point in time, he would likely have to face the Steelers, and that's going to be his downfall. But having said
I wonder why he said that.
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. You would think he's a Steelers fan.
No idea whatsoever. Yes.
No, I mean, I'm being my usual unbiased self. I've been being official timer, all that stuff, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I can look at this whole situation objectively. forgetting the forgetting that I can't even remember the name of the Steelers star defense or offensive player. But having said that, I'll learn that next Wednesday as I prepare for the season opener. But between now and then, my only concern with Mahomes and any of the other field generals is this. What kind of support will they get from their OC, their head coach, and their receivers? Will he have decent blocking? Because I don't know if y'all noticed this. I mean, and listen to a lot of games, when they're black quarterbacks, you know, in the older ones, there's not that many out there. But, you know, you notice certain things about the verbiage from the talking head. There's these little nuances they have when it comes to that left tackle, everybody thinks the most important.
Exactly. That's right. Say it.
That's what they say, but the reality, no, it's not. Because all quarterbacks don't throw to the right. All quarterbacks throw something somewhere besides to the right. And if they don't, it's their fault. And you know where the rush is coming from. So I mean, come on, use common sense. But having said that, if his team holds up around him and perform to the quality that you know they've been doing, he could have a pretty good year.
Absolutely. And remember.
With all the money that he got last year, I think it was, and when they basically gave him the proceeds from the NFL, I mean, going to the Super Bowl should be easy because he got enough money to take himself and his team and buy tickets.
I hear you. Indeed, hold on.
Mike, I just don't know why he won't return my phone calls, though. That's my only problem with Mahomes is he won't return my phone calls.
One of you guys, please call Patrick. He got cut off on the thread. Put him back on.
Sure.
And as we get back into the field generals, the last one that we're going to mention is probably the most important, as General Watson won't play for 11 weeks. Now, another field general, Jacoby Brissett, who has played well in spots sometimes, will be taking care of the load along with Brother Dobbs until Watson can get there. Now, the question is, can they hold off Cavalry and keep Cleveland above 500 before General Watson comes in to do his thing?
No.
How many times did I say the Steelers doing that time?
No.
Yeah, I know. Aside from the Steelers' appearances, that's 9 games, Fred. What do you think Brissett and or Dobbs can do for Cleveland? They got a strong running game, but not much else.
Well, I mean, Cleveland is still Cleveland. And to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, Cleveland has done basically what Cincinnati did for a while. They have a culture of losing. And they haven't, you know, my question is how well have they addressed that side of things? Because, you know, remember, all teams have talent. All teams in the NFL got good talent. Some of them even have great talent. But that does not always equate to wins and losses because, hey, a lot of teams that, you know, what was his name? The black quarterback for Pittsburgh, Stewart. He couldn't win because they played. They got in this mode of this is how we play.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they were still trying. They were still trying to run outside the box. He was not a in-the-box type player.
No, he was not.
And he wasn't the only one that year. Several other quarterbacks were stifled because their OC ran one kind of offense. They were
right.
Their strength was another type of offense. Head coaches had their head up their own behind, and they were
going along with OC. We've seen
this over and over and over again, and not mm-hmm. just with black quarterbacks. A lot of sure. white guys that were good quarterbacks, but you know. You don't let Doug Flutie run, but not your other quarterback. You know, that's the kind of stupidity.
That's true.
They're gonna let Fran Talkin and be the scrambler, right?
Unbelievable. And, by the way, Mike. Just an update. West Virginia Pitt is at Pitt. I stand corrected.
Ah, it's at Pitt. Okay. So West Virginia is at Pitt. Patrick, what shape will the Cleveland Browns be by the time Watson gets under center?
And what shape will Pittsburgh Field be in after that game?
We'll be in decent shape, man. We'll be in decent shape. And I mean, if they do things just supposed to do, I expect them to be at least 7-4.
Okay, 7-4.
Who the hell tried to prep John Gruden? I'm sorry, I go to church, I'm married. Please forgive me. Nigga, shut up, nigga.
Yeah, no shit.
For those out there, all these niggas are ignorant person.
He does a very good Last Days of Nixon impersonation. I'll give him that.
No shit.
Last week we got Mr. Green pulled out. Who told him that, you know, what SEC team would want him? I mean, remember.
He did say Saturday looked good to him. He said, I like some playing on Saturday. He said that one tip, I don't know what was.
Nobody in SEC should want him. I'm sure somebody would.
Come on, Fred.
But nobody should.
You know when the white boys will take him. Come on now.
Is Eddie Haskell still got a job down there? So yeah, they'll take anybody.
By the way, I need to let you all know that this is the 313th official week in which Dabo Swinney said that he will retire if college students are getting paid. Yes.
When are they going to have the ceremony so they can retire that phrase, you know?
That's what I'm talking about. Send his dead ass home.
Talking about being hired at Gruden, you know Jay Gruden just got hired by Oakland. So, you know, John –
Oh, good Lord.
Jay Gruden. See, the rednecks are back.
The Raiders
hired him? Oh, my God. Gang.
Man, what do you got? Jay Gruden. Pictures of goats on y'all or something? We got pictures of goats on y'all. Guys, gang.
What's going on? Fuck on out there in native country.
Damn.
Must
be very picturesque.
Stick like John.
No shit.
It ain't nothing but a setup for eventually him going on trial, actually suing the NFL. And he going to say, if I'm going down, I'm bringing
it. He need no Brown. Everybody going down.
Akeem Akbar is a subway ride away from Park Avenue in New York, becoming the
gentlemen, I have to ask you to indulge me because we are adding another word to the vocabulary, the BASN lexicon.
Mike, can you give me a minute? I got to get a pen.
Okay. Is this going to be first syllable or second syllable?
Dumb fuck.
Is this the action word?
D-U-M-B-F-U-Q E-R-Y,
oh,
dumb
shit.
Fuckery.
Sounds like an adjective. That's an action verb. Are you kidding? That's an action verb.
And it is a crime because when you commit a sin by asking an inane or stupid question in a professional setting, you are committing dumb fuckery. What's a good example of dumb fuckery? How about the asshole who asked Doug Williams, so how long have you been a black quarterback? That's dumb fucking.
Which Doug said, oh, about a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no shit. And I know Patrick and I have sat through some of these, being in the locker room with the Jets and Giants. The game will be a close game. Somebody will win with a field goal. And some asshole from West Buttfuck, North Dakota will say, Coach, how do you feel? Oh, Lord. That is stunning, dumb fucker.
I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm a man. How do you think I feel? Oh, God.
Guilty is right behind you. Your Honor, if it please the motherfucking court, I hereby charge that asshole who asked that stupid question with felony dumb fucking.
Can't hear you.
You just wanted to have your voice heard, and all you did was show everybody what a dumb fucking fool you are. So, I hereby charge that this motherfucker be cast out, sent to prison. Give him life. And never decorate an NFL dressing room
Mike, he can always just watch old films of the Gruden Raiders. That would probably be enough of a punishment.
I make a motion on behalf of Counsel McClain here. But yes, that is dumb fuckery, gentlemen. And we hope that we not see the likes of that too long. Now,
I like
that we've completely
Mike,
I'd like to second the motion.
Yeah, second the motion.
The gentleman, can I add to that? Knowing the people I know and around this business, he probably got a promotion.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Mike, there's a motion on the floor that's been seconded. What are we going to do now? Primary procedure.
Wonderful. Now we got to put on hats and fake wigs.
So noted.
And still got my hair looking the way I want it to. Talk on it.
We got some great stuff in the pot tonight, and I want to thank everybody.
I assume the most has been passed. I assume.
Now, Reggie, how could you not get a chance to impart in the field generals, you lead off. Please drop some wisdom on us.
Well, all I can say is, Serena. Lord, somebody on the panel said, I want to be the mic instead of the tennis ball. I'm not going to mention who said that. They can say it, but I'm not going to mention that. But
I
know my personal thing, you'll see.
I stand by my statement. I'll just leave it at that. I stand by my statement.
Like they said, all you got to do is sit back and listen, and the person will get themselves up.
Your Honor, I stand by my statement.
I heard that. Well, you know what? Win or lose, long live the hunter.
I'm just saying that it's really, again, embarrassing that Patrick and I talk about this from Florida A&M. And this is the same thing we had with Missouri, but Missouri had racism where they said either the president go or we ain't playing no football. And eventually they fired the president. This, again, is ridiculous. Gary, I love you. I'm not going to bring this up no more. But as we said before, when Negroes want to be worrying about themselves more than our youth, this is going to be hard to erase. That's all I got to say.
Yes,
this is going to be a hard one for them to erase.
That's good words, Reggie. We're going to see what happens because we know it ain't going to go away. It's worse than dirty draws in the locker room. I also want to send a shout-out to D. Orlando Ledbetter. Thank you for the input tonight, brother. Fly safe, and we'll hear from you soon. Patrick, I had a chance to actually talk to Patrick's other half, Jennifer. It's a sweet lady. Patrick, tell Jennifer we said hey, and
I appreciate
throw
that.
Something in the pot.
I got two things. One is the fact that I want to give a big shout-out to HBCU Post Radio. I hope you guys know about that, Reggie and Fred.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They did an outstanding job on detailing the 18 players that made the league 53-man squad this year. Mm-hmm. I think they did an excellent job. Excellent job posting that out.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly, I want to tell you this. It was last Friday. I was talking to someone concerning a segment I'm trying to do with a Fox producer about football, college football, pro football. And I went through a friend of mine who is somebody is connected with a very high-flown sports marketing company that's in the know about what goes on. So I got to know when we talked. Nice conversation, make a long story short. And we mentioned HBCUs and the development and the aspect of them possibly doing some things in the future. But then he said, given the fact that what's happening at HBCU with the exposure they're getting, he said, he mentioned Deion Sanders, and this is what he said about Deion. Deion is the person that is the voice and fixture for HBCU football, whether you like it or not, because of the sponsorships that he's been able to initiate and get the league exposed to a country that nobody else does. But he said behind that is this. He said, as much as people might like it, might like him, the question is, there's some schools, and that's specific schools that sniffing him.
Uh-oh.
And it ain't HBCU school.
Uh-oh.
So, and now, I've heard something about this before. He's going to be at Jackson State except for one school. You can deduce from there. But the killer, what he said, was this. We got to think in people have to think forward thinking in order to do some things.
Yeah.
If and when Deion leaves, who's going to take his place? Is there somebody in the HBCU orbit that can get the kind of exposure that he got? Because if not, it's going to be a rough ride. Not that because – and this is what he said, what I know. You can't depend on legacy alone in the next 5 years to promote this league or promote what they're trying to do. They got to find somebody. They should start working on it right now because it could happen.
Yes.
Like I say.
Ooh. I like that, brother. Thank you.
Mike, breaking news, Kellen Mond has now been signed by the
Cleveland
Browns.
Yeah.
Kellen Mond's been signed by Cleveland? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yep. So now there were three.
Yeah.
And then there were three indeed. You've got Brissett, Dobbs, and Mond.
And by the way, the team that's sniffing, but they don't want nobody to know, but the donors, the big-time donors know, Florida State.
Uh-huh.
No surprise.
No surprise.
But you know what? He's still there. You know, I think people have saying he's going to leave now pretty much from day one to day now, but he's still there.
If he does leave, it'll be because of merit. He won games. Coaches don't go somewhere else because they got fired.
My point is they got to market somebody, get somebody to market the league.
Absolutely.
And the brand besides
That's right.
Deal.
That's exactly right. This is definitely
Absolutely.
To be continued. All right, Professor. Thank you, as always, for great input. Please throw something in the pot.
Well, let me start by leading with this. I meant to look this up to see how long Luke Williams has been doing the Black College Sports page. I know it goes all the way back to the 90s. And I want to say this is somewhere 30 years. And he continues to be on the cutting edge of a lot of things. He's one of my favorite sources when it comes to putting together the books that I've done. And, you know, when you say he started from nothing and built it up,
absolutely.
He started doing that in something like WordPerfect. I want to say, like, I was doing my books in WordPerfect. He was doing his page in WordPerfect. Mm-hmm. And as the technology advanced, we both advanced, and we sort of rose together. So, you know, I'm not big on Halls of Fame, but if there was one for what he's doing, you know, that's where
absolutely.
Also,
I like that. Respect the brother Lee.
Doing some layout work. I knew doing the museum work. I didn't know how hard some of it would be, but we started doing some layout on what goes where and in the building and so forth. And it's actually emotional as well as a lot of fun, because you get to see just how much we've collected. You get to see just how much work there is to be done. And, you know, so we're going to move forward with that. You can still follow me on BlackHeritageReview.com. We're also on Black Heritage Review as well as HBCU Heritage Center on Facebook. I'm contemplating moving to Twitter, but I got to know a little bit more about it than I do so far, because it's keeping up with what I'm doing and plenty of work.
Yeah. Take your time, Fred. Trust. Take your time. Twitter is not fun. Twitter is not fun.
Indeed.
That's been my thought all along, because, you know,
that's a lot of work.
And I'm at that stage now where I like to play. If it ain't play, I don't want to do it.
There you go. www.blackheritagereview.com. Buy books. Any day is always a good day for Black history.
Mike, I have one more thing in Mike. Mike, yes, sir. Before Guy gets started,
please.
Folks, you can get my number through Tony or Mike. I got the link for the game between Howard and Morehouse at MetLife. I talked to one of the people for a contention. So.
All right. There we go. Now we talk. It's going to be nice. I'm looking forward to this.
So the most important question I have to ask, of course, am I buying the first Yoo-Hoos, or are you guys, when are you guys going to buy the first Yoo-Hoos?
It'll be Yoo-Hoos on me. I got the first round.
No question.
Gary?
Yes, sir.
I want you to thank Brother Moore for me on that piece. We will run it. We got to figure out how to put it in there. But throw something in the pot.
Okay. Major League Baseball has 30 some games left in the season. We have Albert Pujols hitting 694 home runs.
The machine.
The machine is running hard, okay? In the Bronx, New York, Aaron Judge.
Ooh.
We're 61 home runs.
All right.
Okay. We also have this week the New York Mets playing the LA Dodgers. And the New York Yankees play the LA Angels. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I remember back in the old days when the Chicago team played the Bay Area team at the same time, when the New York team played the LA team at the same time, when the Florida team played the Texas team at the same time. basically
that was how it was.
That's smart. That's an outer
thinking about it.
I look forward. I knew what the schedule. Like, when the best play the Giants, I knew the A's were gonna play the Yankees. Now you know what the hell they doing? They got it all over the place. Look,
yep. Now everybody's gonna play each other now.
That's right. Look. Let's go back to where it was, where you have a balanced schedule.
Oh no!
I know, but I don't like where it went. The Texas Rangers are playing the Houston Astros, and the Rangers have nothing to do. They're nowhere near the Astros, and they play like 18 games. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Well, the scheduling guys have said so. We shall see how this transpires.
And Mike, one tidbit, Gary, why they're not going to do that? One quick example. FanDuel starting. FanDuel is going to have a 24-hour station.
I don't know how you bet on baseball. It's just ridiculous.
That's right.
They really want you to make money. Well, not make money, but take money. Because you can't make money off of betting fucking baseball. I'm sorry. And I just don't see it.
They have a goal returns. There we go. We turn on Sunday.
All right.
Sunday.
About time is right.
Lazy.
Yeah, really.
Mike, if you get it going quicker now, when you got FanDuel for 24 hours, Lord. 3 o'clock in the morning, some food.
Good Lord.
I'm going to tell you, you're going to have people losing it. You're going to have people losing their houses behind this. Seriously.
Yep.
Calling 1-800-GAMBLER ain't going to solve the problem. It's too much money.
It's too tempting
for most of these folks.
Mike, I used to kid about, you know, cockfighting from Bolivia, but, oh, my God, it's real.
Yeah,
oh,
you really
God.
Are.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah, cockfighting on FanDuel. Lord have mercy.
Oh, man.
Well, we got an election about FanDuel and DraftKings in California. Proposition 26 to 27.
Are they still saying that they're a sport of skill?
No, what they're saying was what FanDuel and DraftKings have done has wrapped their arms around homelessness and schools. We're going to give money to homeless people, we're going to give money to schools. So these clowns are playing word games.
Shameless hussies.
Gary,
I'm
getting homeless.
All right, team. Dear New York Knicks, are you going to make this fucking trade or not?
If not, just
leave us alone already.
What's the trade?
Well, apparently, this Donovan Mitchell thing has been out here basically since the day the season ended. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently they just re-upped R.J. Barrett for like a 4-year, upgrade from his rookie deal. Yeah. And you know, the last guy that they gave, the last time that happened, I don't even want to get into it, but
I know.
It has to do with sore knees and Allen Houston screaming at the top of his lungs. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But
I mean, is it, you know, he's a good player, but is he a difference maker?
Nope.
I just don't know.
They need to get out of the future. I'm trading my new car. Okay, Gary.
I've done it so many times now that I go back to the old logo of the fat guy dribbling a basketball. That's how far back I go with my car. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, every, you know, I, again, I feel like Michael Corleone. Every time I want to embrace this team, they do it to me again.
Yes, indeed.
See, now, Mike, I'm not going to be blasphemous and root for the Brooklyn Nets, but I just can't, every time I see that Limu Emu commercial, I think of Kevin Durant. No, Kevin, not today.
Oh.
and that basically keeps me away from wanting to whatever. Maybe I just need to be, you know, maybe I need to do what Spike Lee does. Just, you know, whoever gives me free tickets and terrible clothes, just go ahead and
No shit. Well, thank you, my brother. I'm going to wrap this up with some observation I spied a couple of nights ago. Now, you all know YouTube will give you a homepage with different videos to check out.
Uh-huh.
Just on happenstance, I happened to hit one where Deion Sanders and Steve Largent were talking. It had to do with the top 100 of all time receivers. Now, mm-hmm. as we clicked on, Deion talked about Jerry Rice, of course, and Randy Moss, mm-hmm. of course. And this reported Judy Batista was in the mix. Now,
New York, yep.
They were talking. They included Steve Largent, surprisingly, and in the mix, they talked about how somehow Terrell Owens was excluded. Now, again, top three receivers, Moss, Rice, Owens. And I can make an argument why one is better than the other two at a specific aspect of their game. But this chick Batista comes in the mix, and I give Mr. Sanders his props because he said, basically, how are you going to cut Owens out? And she put some nebulous shit out there, which was just, I can't even call it clickbait. It was just pap, because clearly this bitch never ran a 5-inch slant or learned how to block on the blind side or run downfield after somebody's run 99 yards for a touchdown and block the head two times to clear the path for it. I'll say it again. I'll say it until I'm black and blue in the face. Terrell Owens has never showed up in a hospital or morgue or a hotel with an 8-year-old. Terrell Owens has always been on point. He's country strong. He can lift as much as the damn lineman did, and only because I saw it when he was with the Eagles. He knows not only his role, but your role on the defense. He reads defenses better than most quarterbacks. And yet, these motherfuckers look to savage him every time. Now, it would have been something if Mr. Sanders had said something like that. But Ms. Batista, you don't have a fucking clue. And it's people like you who've never played, who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, that make it fucking worse for everybody else. So to Ms. Batista, kiss the pinkest part of my black ass, and I hope you break your neck and fall to your own asshole. Having said that, I shall leave on a healing note. And go heal yourself while you're at it.
Oh, heal yourself, you got to heal.
Come on, everybody clap your hands one time. Come on, clap your hands, clap your hands. Come on, just clap your hands, clap your hands. Everybody just heal yourself. Come on, heal, heal, heal yourself. Come on, everybody just heal.
make your nose grow like Pinocchio. Since I was only 15, I had to listen to what was said from my parents who were Christian. I went to school and saw all my friends do it, but I said no, cause I ain't want my nose to grow. They started tripping on me, busting and flipping on me, so I had to run and say, yo, keep stepping on me. I started smoking to prove I'm an adult. Now it's a habit, but is it all my fault? I wish my mother had told me the truth, cause now I'm all based out on dope.
Everybody rise as I present to a jet black crowd what it's like to be black and proud in a world where white is right, but not tonight. This is a black man's mic. I heard a sister say she don't like darker shades of black on a man, cause that's black. But to my light skin sister, can't you tell? She's just the surface of a dark deep well. And how could you prefer to be with those that spray you with guns and hoses and never put roses on the graves of the slaves that they treated like dirt after all that hard work?
Parker, he on the